Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Bronx, New York, this is the Brovian Talks. Follow us on Twitter at Brovian93, at Brovian93. That is Brovian93, Brovian93 on Twitter. So, folks, welcome back. Today is Saturday, February 2018. It is 5:30 in the afternoon, and the Olympics are underway, and we have doubles hockey coming in just under 90 minutes on MSG as they travel to Columbus to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. So every 4 years, we get the Winter Olympics. And this year's Olympics, in case you've been living underneath a rock, is, of course, in South Korea. And opening ceremonies are one of my favorite, parts of the Olympics. And I don't know about you folks, but my personal favorite part of the opening ceremonies are the Parade of Nations, where you get to see all the countries, all the athletes. You get to see how many people live in the country and how many athletes are competing for that said country. And, it was a cool ceremony. Is it one of the better ceremonies we've seen? Probably not. It had some cool moments in it. Of course, having the two Koreas, North and South, marching together under a unified flag. Having Kim Jong-un's sister in attendance. Pretty much sitting right behind Mike Pence, it seems like. And, of course, the singing, and then torch lighting. I gotta say that besides the Parade of Nations, which is always a highlight for me because I always like that stuff, the best part of these Olympic opening ceremonies was the beginning with the papier-mâché animals, the tiger, the dragon. That was kind of cool. And towards the end, you had the two hockey players walking up the steps, which did look a bit scary because of that tough incline that looks pretty much like a straight line halfway through the walk. And I think it's pretty high up, so, those two ladies had some guts because I couldn't have done that. That's too high and too steep. That's something I could have done. I just wanted to know how in the hell they got down from that from the top of the stadium, because it looked like a steep walk. I would have to go down, because just looking down, I'd be like, oh my God, this is so steep. And also the drones. The drones doing the Olympic circle, doing that snowboarder thing. That was pretty cool too. But on par, it was an average opening ceremony. The Korean singers singing Imagine. That was okay. What else was there? You had five little kids. That those cool holograms looking to the future. Not bad. There really isn't much to say about these opening ceremonies because not that much happened. I think the entire story revolved around the two Koreas marching in together. And that was kind of cool, especially around these times. But if you really watch the news, and this is all news, Republican, Democratic media, these people have the public running around telling us that there's a war that's pretty imminent. And folks, let me just assure you, as of today, there is no war in sight. Our tensions high, of course there are, but to say that we have an all-out nuclear war in a matter of days or weeks, that's crazy. But it's still kind of cool to see the two Koreas march together, to see Kim's sister be there. That was kind of cool. She's been missing for a while. To see her back in public again, always a nice feeling. And what was remarkable was that it looked like Vice President Pence, the leader of South Korea, the head of the Olympic Committee, whatever his name is, and Kim's sister were all sitting on the same box or the same section of the stadium. And, I'm not sure if they showed it on TV or not, but I would love to know if the vice president shook Kim's sister's hand. I doubt he did, but, you know, them being in the same box together for the first time, I don't know who came in first, who came in second. That would be an awkward moment, to say the least. So hopefully they shook hands. You know, it's the Olympics. It's all fun. It's all games, you know. We have, what, 18, 16 days of fun before we have to come back down to reality. So, you know, I hope they shook hands or at least acknowledged each other. Maybe they didn't. I have no idea. But it could have been a nice moment. I doubt they did because it wasn't on TV. So if they did, I would assume they would have broadcasted it immediately, but they didn't. So I have no reason to believe they did. Still would have been a cool moment and a nice photo for some lucky photographer out there. But, you know, we had some action early on in the Olympics. Of course, the highlight was the hockey game between Switzerland and South Korea. That was, like, what, this morning or something? And as expected, South Korea looked terrible. You know, Alex, I had no idea South Korea played hockey. Apparently they do. And this might have been their first ever national game, and it showed. They got, like, outshot, like, 50-8. You know, losing 8-0, but the way they were outplayed, the blessing, it could have been a lot worse. South Korea goaltender had a solid game. But, again, you know, it was more the moment than the game, so not a big deal there. The American women's hockey team played, I think, this morning, or tomorrow morning, at around 2:30, I think, in the morning. They're playing, I don't know who they're playing, but they're playing around 2:30 in the morning. So I'll be up watching. And hopefully this will be the year they finally beat Canada for the gold, because, you know, I assume all those women out there are tired of winning silver. You know, silver's nice, but knowing that you're on equal par with a team that has your number, especially in the Olympics, big moment for them. Also an interesting moment is, for the first time in decades, probably my life, I'm not sure, that we're having non-NHL players play in the Hockey Olympics. And, far, you know, I'm for this for two reasons. Number one, the Olympics is about, you know, amateur play, not professionals. So that's a good moment for all these young college kids or veteran hockey players of the NHL to play in the Olympics and represent the country. And it's also good that if you're a fan of one of the better NHL teams, because let's face it, most of the players playing the Olympics are from the top teams in the NHL. It makes for much fairer and much more true playoffs for the hockey season when it comes to that in a couple of months. Because, you know, if you're an NHL franchise or you're a fan of an NHL team and a good portion of your roster is going to the Olympics, playing hard-fought games for real, you're bound to get injuries, you're bound to get teams that play exhausted. Because 82 games in a season is tough enough. Adding 5, 6, possibly 10 more games to that, it's brutal. Plus the postseason right afterwards, it's tough, and it's not fair to the teams who are good and have a solid shot of winning the cup. So I'm for that. Good for the NHL for standing strong in that position. And, you know, because, you know, for example, 2010, I'm sorry, but Chicago and Philly were not the two best teams in the NHL that year, but because you had the Olympics that year, some teams had disadvantages, and two teams who had no business really being there that year were in the finals. And that's really one of the prime examples of that happening. But I digress. You know, the Olympics isn't just about hockey. We had a couple of cool events already, snowboarding, the skating. And I gotta, you know, talk about the skating thing. I gotta imagine being the Olympics has to be extremely nerve-wracking. Because, you know, you're in front of the whole world. And let's be honest, folks. Nobody watches the World Championships. They watch the Olympics, and that's once every 4 years. So for some of these athletes, they have one, maybe two cracks at it to perform in front of the entire country as they pay attention and for these couple of days actually care about the sport. And I got to give these guys a lot of credit because knowing that, and that adds to the pressure. Knowing you have maybe one, two, possibly three cracks at winning a medal with literally the whole world watching you. I mean, it got to take some, you know, you got to have some guts. You got to have a huge amount of confidence. And you got to have a positive attitude. Another thing, going back to the opening ceremony, that really surprised me a bit was Lindsey Vonn. First of all, she said this would be her last Olympic Games, which is kind of sad because, you know, I'm a big fan of Lindsey Vonn. She's a good athlete. But also, I mean, that camera, NBC must really love Lindsey Vonn because she was on TV. Like, every time they showed the U.S. team, Lindsey Vonn was on TV. That was incredible, you know. She really knows where the camera is. Good for her, you know. She seemed like she was having fun. Also, Shaun White, another Olympic hero, who everyone forgets until the Olympics come up. Good guy. Hopefully, he won the medal this time around. He missed out last time, I believe. So hopefully, this time we're bringing better luck to him. And we have, you know, a lot of young people. I mean, even a handful of 17-year-olds. And, you know, these, you know, God bless these athletes because they deserve a lot of credit. Because, you know, they're really unsung heroes. Nobody really pays attention to until the Olympics comes around. And then they get all this national exposure and a step of the finger. And it really is like, you know, 5 minutes of fame. Because right at the Olympics, or shortly afterward, unless you're, you know, an ice skater or gymnastics, nobody really cares. So this is the moment of fame. I lost my train of thought. I assume I'll get to it eventually, but the point being, this is a moment, you know, and this has to be a problem for these kids because they really work hard, they train hard. Oh, that's right. And it really makes me wonder what I'm doing with my life. I'm 24 years old, and I'm playing 18, 17-year-olds competing on a world stage, being at the top or near the top of that said sport. And I'm here, unemployed, hosting a radio show on a $10 mic I bought on Amazon. So, you know, good for these kids, you know, let them enjoy it, and, you know, make their family, their country, and their friends proud. So it's always good for them. Good luck to all our athletes. And actually, we've been doing the Olympics now for one full day, and we have the Olympic medal count. As of right now, it is 5:45 on New York time, and the medal count is as follows for anyone curious. In first place are the Netherlands with 4 medals. Second place, actually, correction, Norway also has 4. Norway and the Netherlands have 4 medals each. You have Germany with 2, and you have a bunch of countries tied for third. Sweden, Korea, Russia, Finland, and the Czech Republic. Now, for those of you who only care about gold medals, the gold medal count is Germany in first place with 2 gold medals, and pretty much every other country has 1 gold medal. So Germany leads the pack among the golds with 2, and Norway, and what was the other one again? And the Netherlands are tied for the most amount of medals with 4. The U.S. hasn't won a medal yet, but I assume they'll win at least a handful in these games. They have 240 athletes. They're bound to win one eventually. So it's only day one. Day isn't really over yet, so we'll see what happens. Kind of cool. Now back to reality. In our country, Donald Trump, our president, who's doing a decent job. I mean, if you listen to the show back a week ago, maybe a little more now, after the State of the Union, we gave Donald Trump a C+ as president. Not a bad grade, you know. He's not an awful president. He's not a good president. And we said during that show that one of the flaws of this administration and the Achilles heel whole thought of this presidency. It is not the scandals. It is not his personnel. It's not his policies. The Achilles heel to this president is not even attacking the media. The thing that can bring down his presidency is the messenger himself, Donald Trump, President Trump. This guy, we all know, is no wrong. He's no Reagan. He's no Obama. He's no Clinton. He's no Roosevelt. We get that. But this guy, this president, right now, has to find or hire somebody to give him a clear message, a compassionate message. Because just all this blunt New York attitude talk, I mean, you know, it's cool, it's fun, it's real. But to connect with all Americans and to bring some Americans over who disagree with you, you have to tone your message a bit differently. I'm not saying completely change your policies or change your rhetoric, but you got to change the tone of your message. Because so far, his policies are decently working. He has some accomplishments. I get it, the stock market is going up and down. It's been having a couple of horrendous days this week. Funnily enough, the president right now in most polls is reaching 40% approval ratings. Not bad. But that could only be that may only be a short time thing, because, you know, as a State of the Union, the president usually gets a bump because it's all good, you know, good stuff. People like the way he said, according to most polls. A lot of how this president says things, not what he says, but how he says it, has to be defined. Because every word that comes out of this guy's mouth is going to be criticized by the Democratic media, which is the majority of the media, Democratic politicians, and people who can't stand him. Ronald Reagan, as we all know, the good communicator, all that good stuff, didn't win re-election because of policies mainly. Some people would say he had horrific policies, but he had a pretty good track record as president. The real reason why he won that mega landslide in 1984 is because of his tone. It's because of his rhetoric. Ronald Reagan spoke softly, spoke down to earth, and pulled a couple of jabs here and there. They were funny, comical, and, you know, let his opponent's guard down. When his president talks, his supporters, meaning Donald Trump, his supporters cheer him on, but at the same time, the opponents are fueling up. And every time this president says something, which may be true, such as illegal immigration, terrorism, the economy, it comes across in a poor way. It just does. And if this president wants to return to the White House for 4 more years and wants to be reelected and win the popular vote, which would be a huge deal for this president, he's got to have a softer message. He just can't be a talking head that just reads internet news. He has to sound somewhat articulate. He has to present real clear facts. He just can't read a Republican media post or article, reference it, and say, this is true. The president himself has to present his facts in a clear, coherent way that many Americans can't understand. And if those people who disagree with them don't like it, they can't use it as a rallying cry as much or as publicly or as loud as they currently are. His big goal from now until Election Day in 2020 is to try to loosen the hatred, not the right phrase, but you get what I'm saying. Pull down his enemy's hatred and make them look like nut jobs. Make them look like the ones who are just crying wolf every 5 minutes. And then look at what Obama did when he was running for re-election. With that birther thing, the communism thing, the anti-American thing. I mean, every time you had Glenn Beck or somebody on Fox News or Republican talk about Obama, people laughed at them. They laughed at. They were scoffed at. It was like crying wolf. But it needs better rhetoric and a better message. Not a better message, I mean a better messaging. Because his message is clear. His message is relatable to a lot of people. Maybe even to a majority of people. Who the hell knows? If he wants that wall built, he has to present facts in a clear manner, in a bit more mellow tone, not his raw ego, gutsy talk, or in other words, his New York attitude. So that just doesn't resonate with the media. It doesn't resonate with middle America. It may work once, it probably won't work twice. So that's a big challenge of this president coming up, to have a more concise message. To talk about facts, figures, and present them in a way that many people can understand and get behind. That's what successful leaders do. That's what two-term presidents do. That's what great presidents do. So we'll see what happens with this president. Do I think he can do it? Probably not. But on the few times he actually does do it, which is a miracle in itself, people like it. We need to see more President Trump, not candidate Trump. We got to see more of the Donald Trump as a businessman who behind the scenes does deals and not this guy who just can't shut the hell up anything. Fix your tone, and you'll be successful. If you don't, half the country's going to hate you to the end of time. And that's just the way it is. You may not like it, you may not accept it, but it's the truth. So anyway, yeah, Republicans who pretty much proved once again they were hypocrites. So they passed a spending bill that pretty much went everything against what they said under Obama. They do it now. And folks, Democrats do the same thing. Look at what the Democrats said about illegal immigration back 10 years ago. And look what they're saying about illegal immigration now. Same BS. They're all hypocrites. The media, again, it's subjective. And honestly, there's nothing wrong there's nothing new about having subjective media. It was subjective way before you were born. It'll be subjective way after you're born. That 30-year period in the middle of the last century was a rarity, not a normality. And this is a normal way of life. You know, you're going to have biased media who most of them on the liberal side hate this president's guts. And a few of them on the Republican side love him and will continue supporting him no matter what the hell he does. Just the way it is, folks. But as long as you've been open mind, read both sides, and really think in a moderate, objective way, you'll see the truth. And hopefully continue listening to this show as it will clearly get better. And we have new horizons coming along the way. I'm the Brovian. You've been listening to the Brovian Talks. Follow us on Twitter at Brovian93 and email us at BrovianTalks@gmail.com for comments, questions, opinions, and we'll read them on the air. Thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow.